You're listening to In This League
on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Pace. Featuring Bogma.
Oh, the yummy silence. Oh, it tastes so good, you guys.
Oh, he's on tilt. He's full tilt.
And the Welsh.
Nice.
Bogman, let's not overreact.
Do a little dab.
Are you serious?
Make a little pick. Get down tonight. What?
Nice.
Too high score, is that bad?
Visit InThisLeague.com for full podcasts and more. Coming to your ears now.
What is up? What is happening? It is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am the Welsh, who you can find on Twitter at Is It The Welsh. Right there, that's my co-host, my hetero life mate, as they would say, Scott Bogman, who you can find on Twitter at Bogman Sports. And this episode of the In This League show is brought to you by No Halftime. We would love for you guys to go check them out, nohalftime.com. You can get the app for your Android or Apple device, and you can start playing player versus player matchups. Odell Beckham Jr. versus the world, you could have done this week, and you could have rang in some of that cash money, because you can create any challenge. You could have put Odell Beckham Jr. versus Torrey Smith, and someone might have accepted it. You don't know until you put out the challenge. It's swipe left, swipe right, a very Tinder-like app where you're only doing player versus player matchups. And we got a promo code for you. It's promo code ITL16, where they're going to give you 10 free bucks for brand new users. And they will match your first deposit 100% up to 100 bucks if you deposit today. So go check them out. It's a new and upcoming app that we would love for you to check out, because they sponsor In This League and we love them. It's No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. Like Ben Roethlisberger's leg.
Can you make me feel better real quick? I want to do a little speaky spelly time real quick. Can we do that?
Okay. All right. Speaky spelly time.
Say tin foil.
Tin foil.
Say tender steak.
Tender steak. The arsonist has oddly shaped feet.
Say tin.
Ten.
Say ten.
Ten.
Say tin.
Ten. What's your damn problem? Ten.
They're the same word to you. Tin and ten are same to you, and one's an I and one's an E, and I can't get over it.
Ten.
Every time you say
ten.
It's like the Tender app. I think of steak and I get hungry, and it upsets me that I'm not having steak right now.
I'm not hearing any difference between ten. Yeah, ten.
I know you don't. I know you don't, and it upsets me. That's why I'm trying to do speaky spelly time.
Okay, tell me. Say the number ten and then tender.
Pam.
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 With an
There's
M.
There's a D on the end.
There's no D.
Ten. No. That's the same. Ten and tender is the same. I'm saying it's tinder. T-I-N-D-E-R.
Tinder. Oh, tinder.
Yeah, it's not
tinder.
Tinder.
Okay.
T-I-N-D-E-R.
They're coming to get me.
He's getting close. No. He died too young.
Okay. The arsonist has oddly shaped feet. All right.
Had to get through that. Had to get through that. Had to work through that live on the air.
All right. So. Well, do what you got to do, man. It's been a rough week for Bogman, and I completely understand.
Maybe feel a little better.
Okay. Well, you're doing okay. You're doing okay though, Ben.
I'm here, aren't I?
Yeah, that's true.
As good as it's gonna get.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you that you could make this, because you know, there were some hotlines that were called. Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, I got to kind of tell Bogman too. But we'll talk about it, because we got this great episode for you today. Well, we're doing a couple things that you haven't had recently with us, but we want to give you the full throw of what In This League is. So we are going to be covering fantasy football in the first hour and fantasy basketball in the second hour. Because remember, we do shows on all the fantasy sports. Bogman does college fantasy football if you're looking for it. So here is the layout of this fantastic show today. Coming up on the other side of the break that'll be happening here in just a few minutes, we are going to be joined by one of the podcast innovators in the podcast world. 16 years with ESPN, won podcast awards, producer of probably the most popular fantasy podcast that we'll have had probably in our time until something else comes out. But Fantasy Focus with Matthew Berry and Nate Ravitz. Yes, it is Jay Soderberg. Pod Vader is going to be joining
Vader.
Us. Yes, Pod Vader, very, very popular, does a great job in what he's done, and he has actually moved over to head the content over at Blog Talk Radio, as well as he's got a really cool podcast that he's going to tell you about. It's actually very unique in what he's doing. He's covering a very different spectrum of the fantasy world with fans as well. So Jay is doing fantastic. I know you know him, whether it's as Jay Soderberg or Pod Vader, and he's going to be joining us here in this first hour, where we're going to to be talking about the Ben stuff. We're going to be talking about this crazy running back situation, talk about those Patriots, and we're going to do some Week 7 plays with Pod Vader. Did you see the new Rogue One trailer, by the way?
You know, I saw it. Well, why do you ask me these questions?
Ectoplasm everywhere.
It's all over the place. All over the place. Dude, yeah, I'm very, very, very excited. So.
Dude, I heard somebody saying they are about 12,000 times more excited after watching the Rogue One second trailer than they ever were with Force Awakens. And I got to tell you, dude,
really?
I think I agree. This Rogue One looks amazing. And the way they're going to tie stuff in, if you haven't gone...
It's amazing. I know. No spoilers for anybody.
No.
I'm very, very excited about the tie-in for sure.
Oh.
And it's funny how they can make a movie off of one line. Like, there was a book series written all on one line when Yoda said, two there always are, no more, no less, for the Sith. They wrote a whole book series on that.
Do it in Yoda fashion.
Can't do Yoda.
I can do Yoda. What's the line again?
It's, two there always are, no more, no less.
Two there always are, no more, no less.
That is the Cookie Monster impersonating Yoda. Right there.
Yoda. Give me force. Midichlorians.
That was Cookie Monster. That was Cookie Monster's impression of Yoda. You're absolutely right about that.
Luke, Cookie.
Use the force.
Cookie Vader.
All right. Rogue One was very awesome.
Wow.
You should go check out that trailer. We're going off the hinges. But then what we're doing in the second hour is, if you don't play fantasy basketball, I think you're doing it wrong, because fantasy basketball, sometimes basketball might not be everyone's favorite sport, but it is so much fun. We over at InThisLeague.com, we're doing a pros industry league. I actually got the fantasy black book, guys. I got Joe and Stratford to do it with us. Black. We've got some of the best in the industry from Roto World, Chris Towers from CBS. They're all in our industry league that we're doing. We're going to be covering it on some of our shows over at InThisLeague.com. But what we're going to do in the second hour is we're going to break down, because we did our top 200 episode in its full form at InThisLeague.com, or you can find it on iTunes at, just search ITL, Fantasy Basketball. We're actually very highly ranked on iTunes. And we did this 2 hour plus episode just on our top 200, and we've done mock drafts and we've done ranks analysis. But today, in the second hour, we're going to talk to you essentially about our top 50 players. But we're going to start at 48, because we like to do them in rounds. So you're essentially going to get the first four rounds of your draft based on our rank. So we're going to do that in the second hour. We'll set it up with a little bit of strategy. We'll give you our top 48 players, and we'll highlight a few of those, and you can find all those ranks over at our website. So Jay Soderberg, Pod Vader in the first hour, fantasy basketball ranks in the second hour. It's going to be lit in all of my white tone and articulation.
Lit. Let's light it up. Let's go.
All right. Well, it's all happening on the other side of this break. I'm the Welsh. That is Bogman. This is In This League, and you're listening to it on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, guys, week 7 upon us. Week 6 is in the books. Bogman, can we try to work through this together? Can we try to be okay? Because we've got a fantastic guest on today. I'm very excited to have him. Got to spend some time talking with him recently. And
that's part of my week.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, no, you've had such a rough week. That's what I'm saying. Can we work past all the issues that you have? And I was able to convince and bribe him to come on the show and spend some time with us today. And maybe he can make Bogman feel a little bit better off the Steeler woes. He is, you know him as Pod Vader. He is Jay Soderberg. You've heard him on ESPN. He's got a fantastic podcast, Next Fan Up. You know Pod Vader. Why do we need to do the introduction? Jay, what is going on, my friend?
Not too much, but there's two things. One, I'm still waiting for the check. I haven't received it. And
it's in the mail. It's coming.
And two, if Bogman's a Steelers fan, I got nothing but poking fun at you, my friend. You're in for a rough week.
He had it.
Bogman's
had it wrong. Bogman's a tough guy. We were actually, little insight on the podcast, we were recording another one of our sport podcasts as it happened.
And the Welsh revels into...
No.
We get this... Oh, yes, you do.
We get
this sick pleasure of telling each other if either one of our favorite fantasy guys has been hurt or one of our favorite players has been hurt. And he just got the best one that we've ever had.
It is the best one. And Bogman was
that Roethlisberger had a torn meniscus. And he's like, oh, he's got a torn meniscus.
But the context needed to be important.
That's the whole year.
But the context is important, Jay, because like we were in the middle. We were doing this kind of rank thing with basketball, and he's in the middle, very excitedly talking about some guys. And I see this, and I had this dilemma where I was like, do I interrupt this recording to tell him this news? Or do I just let him have 10 more minutes of happiness? And I let him have 10 more minutes of happiness, and then I broke it. And
but the second I came up for air,
yeah,
I was like, he's like, hey, let me tell you what about Ben Roethlisberger.
I felt bad. Do you have any of that revel? I don't know why we have that, but there is a little bit of excitement of being the one that gets to break the news.
Oh, there's always that revel. You're always like, I've got some news for you, buddy.
And or you lay it in where you're like, hey, I gotta tell you something. I'm really sorry about this. But then inside you're like,
Vader. He is on the dark side. I get it. I understand.
Exactly. If there's any consolation in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League, in which I'm struggling through and limping through the season, I do have Roethlisberger as my starting quarterback. So.
Brutal. Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to be one of the few of the experts that likes to have a backup quarterback. So I do have Derek Carr ready to fill in.
Oh, that's
so,
Bogman's guy.
Yeah,
I'm not going to hurt that badly. But it was not fun when I was looking at the stats and I was like, wow, Roethlisberger only has like 9 points right now.
What's happening?
What's going on? And then halftime of the Patriots game showed up, and oh yeah, Roethlisberger tweaked his knee. I was like, what? No!
Antonio Brown, he's like the Wicked Witch. I'm melting. My value's melting. I want to ask you, next fan up. It's a very interesting concept. It's a great show. I've listened to it. Talk to our listeners about Next Fan Up that might not be initiated to the podcast that you're doing.
Well, the beauty about Next Fan Up is we are providing the view of all 32 NFL teams, that is, from the perspective of the one person that matters the most, and that's the fan. We all know that the one guy who knows the team the best is the fan of that team. Every talking head out there can do a show that, you know, talks to all 32 teams, but that one talking head is being fed whatever information from a research group or whatever, you know, accidental article he happened to read. He's not an actual fan of all 32 teams. Our show presents all 32 teams from 32 different fans. And so, of course, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to leave ESPN. I'm just going to start this, you know, really crazy idea of trying to manage 32 different people while I'm also trying to manage the content for a giant podcasting network. Yeah, that's no problem. Oh, and then, you know, we're only going to do it 2 times a week. And then we discover that we're making 4-hour long episodes. And we're like, you know, we really should have, we've got way too much content. Let's just do a 5-day a week show. Yeah, that's not a problem. We can
You're like
that.
Going to a buffet, but you only get one plate. You don't get a second one.
Yeah. Why don't
you
just go
load
add
that
another
plate up with everything you possibly can.
Yeah, and add another full-time job to your plate there, Jay.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's not, no biggie, but that's really what we try to do, and we do it fairly well. We have a couple of openings still because there's a couple of super fans that once they got involved, they were sort of like, oh, this is too much.
You know, I'll bet the 49ers fans are off the plane. I'm a 49er fan, and I'm not excited about anything. No way there's a 49er fan on there.
No, you do have a 49er fan. A guy just to talk smack about the 49ers.
Yeah, you do have a 49er fan, though?
We do have a 49er fan. His name's Charlie. He's great.
What's up, Charlie?
He's very much invested in not only his team, but in the podcast as well. And that's sort of what we're trying to do. We just bring 32 different guys together. And the one thing that combines us all is our love of football and the fact that we can literally talk about it 24/7, which is why even when there's two less games, we can still do a 2-hour preview of the Sunday matchups on a Thursday afternoon because we just can't stop talking about it. And, you know, people are like, well, you know, you shouldn't. And trust me, I have these conversations all the time with podcasts. I'm like, oh, you shouldn't do a podcast longer than an hour because you really got to think about what you're asking your audience. And we have not followed my own advice.
Yep.
And then we just put out more content on a Monday and on a Tuesday and on a Wednesday and on a Friday. And it's like, man, there's so much football content. We can't stop. We can't stop ourselves.
Yep. Oh, we've had that conversation. People are like, you ever thought about doing an hour? And we're like, yeah, we thought about it. And then we recorded 2 hours. So that's pretty much how ours always goes. Like,
just go like maybe barely over an hour. And then we look at the time. Oh, it's been an hour 48. Look at that.
No, there's just so many interesting things to talk about, perspectives.
Yeah.
You know, we have fascinating guests. We've had a really, really great guest list this entire in season. And it continues here with Jay Soderbergh at The Real Pod Vader. Follow him on Twitter. Make sure that you are signed up and subscribe to Next Fan Up. Go check it out on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, all the places that you can listen to it. But let's get into this because we got some fantasy stuff to talk about, and we're going to talk about some week seven plays. So we alluded to it right at the beginning here of the Ben Roethlisberger news. It's really deflating in a kind of exciting, happy way for me. But I'm over it now because, you know, I don't want Bogman to be in too bad of a place.
I'm sorry. What was the verb you just used? Did you just say deflating?
Deflated.
Yeah, I may not be able to do this podcast.
Yeah.
Deflating? Come on, seriously?
Well, that makes me feel a little better.
Okay, so let's talk about the side pieces here to Ben Roethlisberger, not talking about his value. And really, where does this affect a couple first rounders in Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell? We saw what happened last year to Antonio Brown when Landry Jones was in. Really, there's not much worse than Landry Jones to your fantasy team or the players around it. So, Jay, I ask you, what do you see rest of season value with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell being? Do you see these guys falling off? Do you see them as you got to get out while the getting is good before it gets really bad? How are you valuing Antonio and Le'Veon?
Well, first of all, I am not an injury expert, but I do know a few. And I will say that the meniscus tear should not keep Roethlisberger out the entire season. So that would be number one. Now, some of the reports that I've read see him back as soon as 3 weeks, which would be he would miss the Patriots game. There's a bye week, and then he may or may not be able to go the week after the bye. I would probably lean on the fact that he could go because he's Ben Roethlisberger, and guys like that tend to have these superhuman healing abilities. But beyond that, I would also, you guys didn't even react.
That no, was, I did. I was waiting for Bogman.
Straight face, and I couldn't. I was waiting for some sort of reaction.
I'm sitting here laughing, Jade. I was just waiting for Bogman. I can feel Bogman's tension right now about talking about Roethlisberger, and we got nothing from Scott.
I would say that's first. He's going to be back at some point this season. Now, whether or not it's 3 weeks or longer, that could be a big determinant, but he will be back in time for the fantasy playoffs. So if you can ride this out, and as I mentioned, I have him in a 10-team league. Obviously, there's lots of different quarterbacks available to me in a 10-team league. I happen to have Derek Carr, so I'm going to be okay.
It'll be fine.
But if you're in a 12-team league, it might be a little bit more difficult to pick up that quarterback. You might want to consider a streaming option or making some sort of trade to get you to those fantasy playoffs.
Do you think you would move AB at this point, or do you think that because there's a possibility for him to miss this game and the bye week and then come back, that you're just going to take possibly the one bad week of Antonio Brown and then hope he's back in 2 weeks?
Yeah, well, he was going to have a bad week anyway because they're playing the Patriots.
Yeah, the Patriots are going to beat us by 50. Like, I already know that. It's going to look like Michigan versus Rutgers. I'm already resenting the fact that I have to watch freaking Landry Jones next weekend. So I'm not excited about this game. I understand AB's not going to have a good week. But
in all seriousness, though, the Patriots do have historically, and in the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady era, have trouble against backup quarterbacks. I point to Matt Flynn.
I point to
Matt Schaub. So I guess really the only thing that Landry Jones doesn't have going for him is his name's not Matt. But, you know,
I would rather have Matt Jones at quarterback, to be honest.
Landry Jones, we discussed this earlier.
Get him back from his coked up days at Arkansas. Put him on the field.
He,
it's fine.
Landry Jones might be the worst. And I think I could say this as a strong statement. Landry Jones is the worst backup quarterback in the NFL.
I'd rather have Blaine Gabbert. So.
I don't know about that. Because I would say Colin Kaepernick just played this week.
Well, he's awful. He is awful. But Bogman, I think,
he's
would
no
agree.
Longer
here.
A backup.
Yeah, I would probably put him over Landry Jones, and that's the concern, and that's what Antonio Brown, like Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell's the guy that they're going to have to lean on. He's already been a stud. He's going to continue being a stud, and they can dump it off to him. But Antonio Brown, without Ben Roethlisberger, the numbers are not the number one overall pick. So there's going to be a lot of Antonio Brown owners that are going to be freaking out. And the question really arises to say, A, are you the type of person that goes desperately to try to get Antonio Brown right now? Or B, are you the type of person that should be selling an Antonio Brown? And are you freaking out, or are you buying into it and trying to benefit off of this?
I would be buying from a freaking owner. That's for sure. I would not be selling Antonio Brown right now. You got to try and ride this out. Understand that this week you're probably going to take a hit, and then, you know, hopefully after that bye, he'll be back. Now, even if Roethlisberger's not back in 3 weeks, you know, so you're looking at maybe a 6 week stand. I mean, it's a meniscus tear. They do heal a lot quicker. It's not like he tore his ACL, which put him out for the year. On top of that, he can put a brace on, and he did finish that game yesterday. Am I wrong in that? I know he left the game and he came back in.
So
I wouldn't be too concerned about Ben Roethlisberger missing a lot of time. And I did hear Tom Brady today in his weekly interview on WEEI say, I wouldn't put anything past Big Ben. And I wouldn't put it past that we see Big Ben this Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, that I think that may be asking a bit much, but I'm with you. Don't put anything past Ben, because he's a freak of nature. I wanted to ask you this question because I figured you might have practice tape for these players. So many quarterback issues.
That was a Patriots joke.
He was giving me the no reaction, just like I did to him. I get it, tit for tat. So many quarterback issues. Obviously, Ben goes down. A lot of guys looking horrible. Do you think Cap could be a sneaky, you know, what kind of what we expected from Tyrod Taylor type to start the rest of the season? Or are you going to take a knee on that idea?
No, I will take the knee on that idea. Colin Kaepernick is not someone you want on your fantasy squads. And I do think it's amazing. You know, this was a topic we addressed on our next Fan Up podcast in the off season, or really in the preseason, about the fall of Colin Kaepernick and just how precipitous it was, and not really understanding why, if it was all injury prone or if it's just the fact that he had one guy who sort of got what he was doing and put him in a situation to succeed. And these other coaches are, you know, doing whatever they do and trying to put the round peg in the square hole. And yeah, you can put a round peg into a square hole, but it doesn't fit all the way around. So
you got to wrap it like they did in Apollo 13.
But what people are going to do, though, when they see him, is they're going to look at, I mean, that offense is just atrocious right now. And Carlos Hyde is going to suffer from Colin Kaepernick. That's a pretty historical thing. And it's going to show again. But they're going to look, hey, 66 yards rushing. Seems like he might be running the ball a little bit more. And if you can get 180 to 200 passing yards, maybe a touchdown or two if you're lucky, but then you can get 60 plus rushing yards, that's where people are going to try to look to some of that sneaky value. I agree. I want no part. If you're starting Colin Kaepernick in any league, you have serious, serious problems, unless you're playing in a six quarterback league, and that's the only reason.
Yeah, that would pretty much be it. I mean, maybe in a two quarterback league, I can see the sneaky value, but you failed to mention the interceptions that are going to take away some of that value as well. And he's going to throw some, and by some, I mean a lot. And he's just not someone that you want to rely on in fantasy at all.
No, you know, he also looks like, you ever played like Madden, like 2010 or 9 or something, when you had a guy with long hair and they'd always have just that weird, like their hair shouldn't look how it does in the helmet. Like that's how Colin Kaepernick looked. He looks like standard long hair Madden player. And I hate it. And I just want to punch him. It makes me mad.
You know, actually, if I may throw out another Colin joke, but, and this makes me a very Gen X person, but, from the old Flintstones cartoons, Gleek the alien, big round helmet head.
Yeah,
that's Colin Kaepernick.
I thought you were gonna go with the guy from SpongeBob, whose name I don't know. But I'm with you.
You will call him Gleekernick. Gleekernick will be his name. I like it. That's solid. How about some guys that had these preseason high hopes? There's a bunch of, I would call them the hype guys. The guys like Duke Johnson, Jeremy Hill. I think there's some wide receivers that fall into that category. Dante Moncrief, Tyler Lockett were huge hype guys. But more for this exercise, I'm talking about some of these running backs that are still playing, but they're not living up to that preseason value. Me alone, I was really hyped up on Duke, and it just hasn't worked out. So do you think it's time to cut bait? Are you cutting bait on a guy like a Duke Johnson, maybe even a Jeremy Hill, if there's a better opportunity? Or is this a buy low opportunity, that this is its second half for these type of guys, these hype players?
I said back during draft time, friends don't let friends draft Cleveland Browns.
So true. So true.
And so you deserve everything that you've gotten.
Shame.
With Duke Johnson.
So
I am one that is definitely getting rid of Duke Johnson. I'm getting rid of all my Cleveland Browns. I mean, are they getting ready to start quarterback number 7 this week, or is Cody Kessler going to keep the job for
the Welsh is going in? He's going to be activated off the practice squad.
I'm ready. Put me in, coach. Has any team started more quarterbacks in NFL history than the Cleveland Browns? Not just the last like 15 years, but history.
That's a great question. That I don't know. That's definitely one to look up. It's got to be pretty close. If it's not a record, it's got
to
be pretty close.
Like it would have to be one of the teams that was the original, like one of the original 8 NFL teams, you know, like the Kansas City Cowboys, right, or whatever it was, and then the Cleveland Browns.
The DeCatcher Staleys.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, how's Moneyball working for you there, Cleveland? It's doing wonders, huh? Yeah, Cleveland is in a whole heap of a lot of trouble. I mean, Terrell Pryor is probably still got some value just because he literally plays every single position on the football field.
Love him.
But beyond that, I mean, I would not invest in Cleveland Browns right now. If you can find somebody to buy him off you, get rid of him and get what you can get for him. Now, you mentioned, who was the other
Jeremy Hill? Like Jeremy Hill's one of those.
Jeremy Hill.
Lots of hype.
I would stick with him. Here's my problem. There's a couple of teams this year that have been sort of underperformers, not from a fantasy perspective, but from a real football perspective. And the Bengals certainly fit that mold. The Arizona Cardinals are another team that sort of fits that mold as well in terms of real football disappointments. And I don't know what it is with the Cincinnati Bengals, because they still have the talent. They still have it there. And after watching them play the Patriots this week, you know, they were in that game for quite some time. It wasn't until about midway through the third quarter that the Patriots pulled away. As the Browns actually had the lead after their first drive in the second half. So they have the talent. It's just, you know, I don't want to place it on the coaching, but I think you kind of have to. You look at that team's history and you look at their failure rate in the playoffs, and you have to start going, why is this team not succeeding? And it ultimately has to come down to the coaching and the discipline. I mean, you look at a guy like Vontez Burfict, who just literally came back from a suspension for playing dirty, and he goes out and he plays dirty again. And then when he gets called on it, you know, Gronk probably said a few things that he shouldn't have said, but did you? If anybody noticed, as soon as he got the penalty, he got taken right off, and he's standing right next to Bill Belichick, and Belichick's giving him an earful.
Like, yeah, that's coaching.
And listen, Bill Belichick might be the greatest coach of all time, but every single coach should be doing that. I did it this weekend with my own son. I was out I called a timeout with my son. He started talking back to me like he knew more than the coach did. I was like, "You're out. Next guy, come in."
Like, next guy.
It's just like you gotta give these other guys a chance if the one guy's gonna continue to play the way he wants to play. With Cincinnati, I still believe that they've got that talent and they can get it done. And maybe it's wrong for me to hold on, but I'm not giving up on the Bengals just yet.
All right, this next one we'll go a little quicker on it. But Kenneth Dixon, Arian Foster, Derrick Henry, they're all expected to get playing time, decent playing time. They haven't so far. In a 12-man, because of the injuries to running backs, are you holding to these guys, 12-man standard, or are you dumping them, or are you keeping one and dumping the other two?
All right, repeat those guys again for me.
It was Kenneth Dixon, Arian Foster, and Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I would get rid of all of them. And I would say with Kenneth Dixon, he just hasn't shown up at all this year, so there's no point in holding on to him. Derrick Henry, you're really only holding him on as a handcuff at this point, because it doesn't look like he's going to get the starting job anytime soon or significant carries anytime soon. I mean, maybe if Tennessee falters down the way, maybe he's a playoff pickup. Maybe he's a sneaky playoff player for you, but at this point, you don't need him, and he's taking up space. And, oh my gosh, I hate to ask you, who's the third guy again?
Foster. You don't even need to know his name.
Just did this week.
Yeah, you don't even need to know his name. Don't worry about it.
J.I. did this week, so
worthless.
And I know J.I.'s had a weird season, you know, with underperforming. Oh, and here's a 200-yard performance.
It was against the Steelers, so not that surprising.
Bogman could put up 80 against the Steelers, but yeah.
But I think J.I. is certainly, if I'm the Dolphins, you haven't invested that much into Arian Foster. I think you stick with the J.I. You call the Foster, you call the Arian Foster signing a wash, and you let him go at the end of the season.
Yep, me too. Done with Foster. I'm off of it. I'm off defending. It doesn't look like I'm going to win our bet, Bogman. I need him to start playing.
Well, he got in for, like, as long as he keeps getting in for one or two plays, that's the way to keep him healthy.
J.I., probably win the bet. Our bet was Arian Foster plays more games than Jamaal Charles, and I got a one-game handicap. So I think I'm up one game right now from Jamaal Charles, but
I'm
done.
I think you're up two.
Well,
right.
Okay. Well, good. Let's win it. At least Arian Foster will win me something, because he's not going to win me any league that I have him in, because he's worthless. He's done. Love the Roto World blurb of Adam Gase says that Arian Foster is still not 100%. Oh, really? No kidding. Thank you so much for that riveting update that Arian Foster had 3 carries over the weekend, and JJ is
the man.
Thank
you, update from 2008.
Thank you so much.
Those were some good questions, and on the next part, after this break right here, we are going to have the plays that we did last week. I had a really good call on Travis Benjamin last week. Don't know if you knew that. I said don't start him. Surprising sit. Had 3 catches for 17 yards and a fumble. So,
look at you, buddy.
Look at that. Yeah.
Things are looking up.
Call me buddy guy. I'm not your buddy.
You're not my
guy.
Buddy, pal. All right.
That's right. But we'll be right back after this break, going over the top 3 at each position.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, guys, week 7 plays. Jay, how we do this is we cover 3 categories: quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and then we go 3 deep into categorical things. So, like, for quarterbacks, we might talk about who's our 300 lock of the week. Last week, Bogman, let's see, who I nailed a couple. I was right with, did I nail Mariota? Phrasing?
I don't know if he had 300 yards, but he had a good game. I had Roethlisberger. He was garbage. Phillip Rivers wasn't a turnover machine. Lamar Miller, though. Lamar Miller, pretty good for me. You had LeSean McCoy. That was a good call.
For my 2 touchdown lock.
Mike Wright. How about that old Brandon Cooks?
Oh, yeah. Looked fantasy footballers. Solid. Yeah, that was the bet. Yeah, the bet didn't go so well.
Solid, didn't he?
So that's how we do it. We're all going to pick one in 3 categories of each of the 3. Let's start with quarterbacks, and I will start us off. My quarterback lock for 300 yards this week. It's a sound strategy that I think I can continue with this game through the rest of the season. Pick whoever's playing against the 49ers. It is a assured winning strategy in every facet. If you're playing DFS, if you're considering who should I start this week, they're playing the Niners. They belong on your team and in your starting lineup. So I'm going to go Jameis Winston, big game. Doug Martin hopefully looks like he'll be back. Mike Evans all day, every day. 49ers aren't stopping anything. Give me Jameis Winston, 300 lock against the Niners.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm also going to go the masochistic route, and I'm going to say Tom Brady versus Pittsburgh. I mean, the you know, it's pissed off Tom Brady against this horrible, horrible secondary.
500
and,
yards.
Yeah, probably 500 yards and, you know, 4 touchdowns somewhere in that neighborhood
in
for
the
Brady.
First half.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, probably in the first half. And yeah, so I'm going to go with Tom Brady and take all the wind out of Jay's sails so he can't have him.
Yeah, what do you think, Jay? Who's your 300 lock this week?
You know, it's a shame that you took him. I've got 2. Can I give you 2?
Sure.
I'm going to give you 2 guys, and I'll make 1 my actual lock. But you mentioned the go with whoever's playing San Francisco. That's a good one. Also, when you're talking about passing, go against whoever's playing New Orleans. I think Alex Smith is a nice, sneaky play this week, especially
that
since
one.
That game is at the vaunted Arrowhead. So Alex Smith is a good one. The other one, when you're struggling and you just got everything handed to you by the New England Patriots, the best morning after pill to take is the Cleveland Browns. And so Cincinnati goes back home and hosts the lowly Cleveland Browns. I'd watch Andy Dalton to have a big week this week, too.
I absolutely love both of those, especially because Alex Smith could be sitting out a wire. Maybe if you're hit with a little of a bye week quarterback situation, Alex may fill in really nice. Second one up on the quarterbacks. And Jay, we'll start with you on this if you're good with it. Biggest disappointment this week. And I kind of look at this as like a quarterback one, someone you're normally starting in your lineup. You don't like the matchup, but someone that's going to probably disappoint from your expectations at the quarterback position. What do you think?
This is a tough one.
It is.
And again, I'm going to go with two because I like to give two instead of one. The first one's going to happen on Thursday night, and really he's a season-long disappointment. I think there's something wrong with Aaron Rodgers.
Mm.
And Aaron Rodgers is playing on a short week. Chicago's coming in. So, yeah, you'd think the matchup might still work out in favor of Rodgers, but you thought the matchup might have worked out this week against the rookies in Dallas and didn't go so well. So I'm going to tell you Aaron Rodgers is going to disappoint. And actually, I'll just leave it at that one. I'll just give you one. Aaron Rodgers.
That one hurts my soul a little bit. Love me some Rodgers coming in. What do you think, Boggs?
I don't know how much I believe this one, but Pod already, you know.
Good thing that you're announcing it then.
Mentioned it before. Well, I mean, you'll get it. It's Drew Brees at Kansas City. I mean, I think Drew Brees is going to have somewhat of a decent success against anyone he plays. But we just saw, you know, Derek Carr get hammered against Kansas City, and Kansas City's defense is really coming on. They look strong, and it's on the road, and that's not really the Saints' forte. So I'm going to go Drew Brees at Kansas City, kind of a bolder one.
All right, this is a very bold one. Landry Jones versus New England. No, I'm just not going to do that one.
Shut
is that going to be a good one? I don't think he's going to be that great. No, I'm going to go with Russell Wilson versus Arizona. Even though Arizona hasn't been playing up to par, they were able to boost their confidence last week playing against my 49ers. Whoop up on them. Do some good things. Russell Wilson going to struggle a bit. The offensive weapons just, I don't know. Jimmy Graham has been playing better. That's fine. But no, Tyler Lockett, meh. Doug Baldwin, even though he's such a good target with them, meh. No Christian Michael. I think Russell Wilson struggles a bit. If I had a close, you know what? I would be as bold to say if I had Jameis Winston or Russell Wilson on my team, I would bench Wilson for Winston this week. Try to say that three times fast.
This is a real question, and I want to ask you guys this.
Mm.
Would you rather start Landry Jones versus New England or Carson Wentz versus Minnesota?
Ooh. Carson Wentz.
I would probably just go with Carson because he's had a little bit more. You've seen a little bit more of him this year than you have of Landry Jones. But I wouldn't want either of them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd almost rather like not play a quarterback that week and just get zero
points.
Those
are your two options. We have fantasy basketball available on InThisLeague.com.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, last one on the quarterbacks here. It's garbage time favorite. And, I mean, it's actually kind of gross for me to say this one because I don't believe it and I don't trust in it. But I am going to say one of the guys we have talked about in this episode. I'm going to say Colin Kaepernick against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's defense has been fine, but the question is garbage time favorite. So I fully suspect Tampa Bay to get up. Would not be shocked if it's, you know, 21-0 going into the second half. Though, the thing you do need to know if you haven't watched the 49ers, they typically play very tough in the first quarter, and then they just give up like a bunch of pansies. They're just like, nah, we played for one quarter, we're good. No longer need to play this game of football for three more quarters. And then that's where they give the game away. So they may play a little tough in the first quarter, give up some points in the second. But in the second half, they're going to be playing from behind. Colin Kaepernick just trying to get first downs, probably going to put up another 70, 80 rushing. Maybe he gets a rushing touchdown in, which, you know, if you have 4-point passing touchdowns, a 6-point rushing would be nice. And maybe he continues some of the success he's had with Torrey Smith and them. So let's say if you're looking for garbage time, Colin Kaepernick. What do you think, Boggs?
This is a tough one to pick because these games are fairly decently matched this week. So it's tough to know who is going to have garbage time, but I do think Jacksonville is still not that good, and they're playing against Oakland. I think Oakland is still better than them, so I'll take Blake Bortles, but this one is kind of it's kind of tough to call, but I'm going to go with the you could just say Blake Bortles any week he plays could be the garbage
time. We've called him garbage time Bortles. Yeah, exactly. That's what he does.
Exactly. So that's what I'm going to go with this week.
All right, what do you think, Jay? Yeah, your garbage time.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of these games are very, very close. I think, you know, Buffalo-Miami is a game that could go either way. So I was thinking Ryan Tannehill. Baltimore-New York is another game that I think could go either way.
Right.
So I was leaning a little bit towards Fitzpatrick. The Houston-Denver matchup on Monday night, which team is actually going to finally right things? Is it Osweiler? Is it Simeon? Like that game, I think, is another one that could go either way. So I think the garbage time guy is a guy that you mentioned before, the one guy that we really don't want to. But if we're looking at garbage time, I think it's Carson Wentz and trying to come back against the Minnesota Vikings off the bye.
I like that one. That's
Jones could be an okay one just because I think Pittsburgh's going to be down by so much, but he'll probably have thrown so many interceptions by that point it won't be worth starting.
Who's the third stringer or the now backup for the Steelers?
Zach Mettenberger.
Welcome to Zach Mettenberger the era of Mettenberger for the Steelers, because that is your only hope. Help me, Obi-Wan.
Hopefully that era lasts 1 week. So.
Yeah, well, like the season, like the rest of the season. All right, let's go down to running backs here. We've got three. First up, this is a little different one, kind of sticking into what we've done with wide receivers. We're going to ask who your week seven surprising sit is. So this is a player probably
down by the seashore.
Down by the seashore, probably starting in your lineup. I mean, if you want to be bold and say it's a running back one that you would sit, maybe it's a running back two. Try to stay away from flexes, but someone that you are going to sit regardless of their season output, their preseason rank, or a recent performance. Jay, how about we start with you? Who are you sitting this week, week seven, from the running back position?
That's a tough one. I'm going to say, you know, if we're thinking that Jacksonville's got a tough row to hoe with the Oakland Raiders, I'm going to say TJ Yeldon. And maybe that's me cheating. I saw Chris Ivory sort of played a little bit this past week, but I'm going to say TJ Yeldon anyway.
Yeah, they did say Yeldon was going to be their workhorse moving forward. But I mean, just, you know, Jacksonville sucks. But I buy that one. Bogman, what do you think?
I'm going to say Jay Ajayi after his great performance against Pittsburgh. I mean, let's not forget he broke off a 65 yarder at the end of that game to put him up over 200 yards. Still a great game without that run. But going up against Buffalo, Buffalo's been really good against the run the last 2 or 3 weeks here. So while I am excited about JHI getting a lot of the carries and kind of breaking himself away from the pack of the Miami mess, not against Buffalo. Not all about it. So,
all right, the one I'm going to go with here, this is a tough one because I'm sitting in the running back one territory, and I'm going to sit Mark Ingram versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Mark Ingram has not been the player that everybody thought they were getting when they took him 18 or 19. Remember, Bogman, where you tried to do that test with me, what scenario I would take Mark Ingram, and it never happened because I would never take him. Yeah. Now, he's had a couple of good games. I mean, I'm also saying this, you know, in a PPR format.
It was only a gun to your head was the only way it worked.
Yeah, in the PPR format, he still did some stuff. But, you know, two straight weeks, even with a bye in there of 50 yards rushing, for whatever reason, Kadett is really jumping into the passing game. And I think that's worrisome if Mark Ingram isn't going to be the bulk of everything guy and Kadett is jumping in here, or if they're going to have, you know, Lasko or something like that. So Mark Ingram against Kansas City defense, I don't care for. I don't like to sit my studs. That's a pretty common thing. So if I don't have depth, don't go and put, like, I'm not going to sit Ingram for like Wendell Smallwood or anything like that. But if I had some options, I would consider doing that. Number two here is the two touchdown lock. Now, I'm going to take a little playbook from Jay earlier that says, you know, when you're trying to write some stuff and you're trying to feel good, go up against the Cleveland Browns. So this week, I'm going to say Jeremy Hill, who we've talked about, is going to get a couple goal line carries, going to be able to punch two touchdowns in against Cleveland. Cleveland is going to be struggling the whole game, and it will be at the hands of Mark Ingram. So give me two touchdown lock. I'm sorry, Jeremy Hill.
You're going to make Jeremy Hill great again.
To make him great again.
Try. I was looking. It's tough to pick one for this week.
This is the toughest one, too.
Yeah, I think Todd Gurley versus the Giants, just, you know, if they get down, the Giants are still, you know, it's always a shootout with them. So I'm going to say Todd Gurley. Hopefully they get down to the one a couple times and he can punch it in.
All right, Jay, if you're trying to get two touchdowns out of your running back, the, you know, impossible to predict touchdowns here, but sometimes we can hit some gold. I had LeSean McCoy last week. It was against the Niners. Maybe you just need to pick Doug Martin against the 49ers here. But what do you think? Two touchdowns.
Jamal Charles.
Yeah.
Love it. Kansas City versus New Orleans. I think Charles comes home and the Saints run defense. Well, the Saints defense, period, is pathetic. So giving it to Jamal Charles. Now, you do have to watch out for those Spencer Ware vultures, but I think there's enough touchdowns for those running backs against the Saints.
I love it. You two were frenemies there for a minute, but I think you two just became best friends. You guys can go do your karate out in the garage.
Karate in the garage, yeah.
Bogman loves Jamal Charles. Last one here on the running backs. It's a PPR flex option. So these are not the obvious of players, but this is a guy that you're going to throw into your flex spot in some type of a PPR league, and you're hoping to hit gold here. You know, we essentially call this the Darren Sproles position. Jay, let's start with you. What do you think? Who's your PPR flex option?
Spencer Ware.
Yeah.
Might as well. You know, if I mentioned that I'm worried that Ware could vulture away those two touchdowns from Jamal Charles, then I think that's sort of where I'd place my bets in a flex.
I got to go with Mike Gillisley at Miami. We all had that with Shady because it looked like he was grabbing his knee and he went down and everything, but he came back and he was fine.
That was
but,
just him kneeling after all the touchdowns.
Right, right. I think the Miami defense turns back into a pumpkin this week and starts giving up a lot of points, and Gillisley could pile some up in the second half.
One of my favorite guys coming into the season was Deion Lewis, and then Deion Lewis got hurt, and James White got to jump back into that role and really was just nothing until Tom Brady came back into the fold. And guess what? Tom Brady's back, and guess who he's playing against? Pittsburgh.
And you're going to be in trouble. Hey, now, Tom Brady's back.
It's Bill Boglicek there singing to us, and I think James White is a lockdown PPR option. He's floating into the territory in PPR of like a running back, too. So all about that James White life. On the PPR flex options. Last ones here are the wide receivers, good for one touchdown. Bogman, I am going to cheat a little bit this week.
Jerk.
You're looking at what I wrote. For good for one touchdown this week is any New England wide receiver. Pick one, and they will score a touchdown. Chris Hogan, count it. Malcolm Mitchell, sure. You want to throw the Bennett in there? Do it. Danny Amendola.
Well, originally, when I put this on here, I said Gronk, so I don't blame you.
All the New England. Maybe Vince Wilfer can come back and play for the Patriots, and then he can catch one at the tight end position. Any New England
He's
wide
not
receiver.
Not Terry Poe. So.
If you even want to make me pick one, sure. I'll pick, I'll pick Danny Amendola just to be fun. But Chris Hogan, they're all going to score touchdowns. Give me all New England.
Yeah, pick Randy Moss. I'm going to have Amari Cooper at Jacksonville. I think that, we've seen Cooper start to come on now. And it's about time, and they're playing Jacksonville. So Amari Cooper at the Jaguars, lock it up.
Lock it up. Jay, what do you think? Good for one touchdown wide receiver.
Jameson Crowder.
Boom.
Nice.
I'm going deep with you on that one. Detroit has actually given up, although I don't know with updated stats, the most touchdowns to receivers so far this season, at least previous to this past week. So I'm going with Jameson Crowder, who seems to be coming on quite nicely there the last 2 weeks in Washington.
I like that one. This is the layup of these, where we're going to be talking about the week 7 yards leader. Are we going to get another 200 yard receiver? I don't know. 150, that's always a safe bet. What do you think, Jay? Who's your week 7 yards leader? Could be anybody. Doesn't have to go deep. You can pick the obvious. What do you think?
Are we taking tight ends here, too?
Absolutely. Sure. Receiving yards leader.
Gronk.
Love.
It's Gronk. Gronk, 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 Gronk all day.
Let's make Gronk great again. Tom Brady, let's make Gronk great again.
I don't blame you at all for that one, because last time the Steelers played, they just could not cover Gronk. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a lot of the same. Hopefully Ryan Shazier comes back. But I'm going to say Brandon Marshall versus Baltimore. I expect that one to be a little bit back and forth because – Flacco can throw the deep ball and the Jets can't cover it. So I think there could be a lot of garbage time for Fitzpatrick. I didn't want to put him as my garbage time favorite because he's looked really bad this year. But I think Brandon Marshall against Baltimore is going to be my yard leader.
So I'm going to go with an obvious one. I'm going to go with Julio Jones here. Love Julio. But I got an interesting stat for you. I mean, maybe I just set myself up for it. But Bogman, how many double-digit target games does Julio Jones have this season?
One of six, really?
The entire season he has been targeted in the double digits, and that's the obvious, the insane 300 game, has not been targeted more than 10 times any other game. Now he's gone up against some defenses, Denver, Seattle, but he also went up against New Orleans and Oakland. This week he's going up against San Diego, who prior to this with Verrett, I really thought Verrett was one of the better cornerbacks in the league, but this is going to be a pass heavy game. Falcons, Chargers, they're going to be slinging it. Julio, I don't know. I mean, you don't need to throw to Julio 15 times, I suppose, to win a game. They're winning some games, but I think they're going to be doing that here. Look for Julio to have his second of double-digit target games and go completely off on the Chargers. Last one here. This is the surprising sit. I think you and I have done relatively well. I didn't do good last week, but we've done relatively well on the surprising sit wide receivers. And this week, one of my favorites on the entire season, because everyone was sleeping on him, that he couldn't do it because he was getting older. But I'm going to say Larry Fitzgerald. I'm going to say Larry is going to struggle against Seattle. One of the things they're going to have to do in the passing game is they're going to have to pick their wide receiver who they're going to shut down, and it'll be Larry Fitzgerald. Michael Floyd's the worst thing ever. Him and Landry Jones just on the team worst. And they're going to have to depend on John Brown in this game if they're going to score points, because I'm going to say that they are going to blanket that coverage around Larry, and he is going to struggle this week. Who do you think, Bob?
I got DeAndre Hopkins at Denver. Denver has been consistently shutting down number one wideouts, and DeAndre Hopkins has not looked very good so far this season. So give me bench me DeAndre Hopkins at Denver.
All right, Jay Rocket, give us something good. You've been slinging gems.
You both picked the guy.
Yeah.
I was going with. So I'm going to give you Antonio Brown.
I love
which
it.
It's not the obvious sit. Well, or it is the obvious sit, but whatever. You guys took the other two guys.
I took the steam out of your sail. I love it. We got that. That means we picked good ones, by the way. When any of us get frustrated, we picked really good ones. And there you go. A lot of good pod talk here with the OG. It is the real Pod Vader, who you can find on Twitter at the real Pod Vader. It's Jay Soderberg, who is doing all the great stuff over at Blog Talk Radio. If you don't believe me, go check it out. Jay and I were talking kind of about Blog Talk and, you know, what it used to be and what it is and what he is helping push it to are really good. And trust me, you know, I'm not going to steer listeners in the wrong way. There's great content. Our friends, Her Fantasy Football, you know, we've had Marianne Leon, and they're over there. And you should go check out the stuff they have, as well as finding Next Fan Up on iTunes and on Blog Talk. Subscribe to that. Make sure you're listening, because Jay's a real deal, and I love everything that you were able to do, because really we don't have that experience to know if you get enough of the accolades that you probably should, but you have done a lot of fantastic things and helped kind of the idea of podcasting and what good podcasting should sound like, Jay, and you were helping and at the forefront of innovating that. So thank you for that, and thank you for taking the time out for us.
Well, thank you. Certainly gave me way too much credit, but I will accept all of it. And I will also mention, you mentioned Her Fantasy Football. They are on top of the Fantasy Expert League at Blog Talk Radio right now, crushing us all like we were little minions in their little minion army.
They don't mess around.
No, they really don't. They have a phenomenal team, and honestly, I don't think anyone's going to beat them this year. They're still undefeated after all these weeks. It's really, really sickening to me.
And we love them. And we have Brandon on every year, and Her Fantasy Football does fantastic stuff.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, Jay, we love you. Thank you so much for taking the time out for us. All the great stuff that you're doing, and hopefully we can get you back on soon.
Well, thanks for having me on, and anytime, guys.
Well, we want to thank again Jay Soderberg, Pod Vader, for joining us. Awesome, awesome stuff. Great conversation to have. Good to catch up with him. Very, very interesting perspective on the fantasy world. And it's just good to talk fantasy. I bet he's very excited to not just be that guy that was at ESPN and worked with Matthew Berry. He is his own person, ladies and gentlemen, and we love him. Thank him very much for joining us. Well, don't go anywhere, because in the second hour, we're going to be talking to you about some fantasy basketball. So if you got some drafts coming up this weekend, maybe you're doing them Monday, maybe you're doing them Tuesday, right before the season starts, we're going to get you covered with our top 48 players, which is the first four rounds of a 12-man draft. So we're going to talk to you about some strategy. We're going to give you some ranks, and we're going to do it up fantasy basketball style, because that's what we do it in this league. Go find all the shows that we do at InThisLeague.com. Don't go anywhere. Fantasy basketball in the second hour. It's Bogman the Welsh. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back into the second hour of In This League. I am the Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at Is It The Welsh right there. That's Scott Bogman. You can find on Twitter at Bogman Sports. And you can find everything that we're doing over at InThisLeague.com. Thank you so much for sticking around for the second hour. Loved talking fantasy football with Pod Vader. That's not, you don't really do that voice with Pod Vader, right?
I mean, I wouldn't, but yeah, do whatever you want, man.
I am Pod Vader. I'm not in the Rogue One trailer.
You are, actually.
He's not Pod Vader. He's not actually.
Pod Vader.
That's what I'm saying. He's not in there. So here's what we're going to do in this hour is we wanted to make sure to cover some fantasy basketball. Kind of tease this. InThisLeague.com, you can find all the episodes that we've done. We have done a whole lot of coverage if you got a draft this weekend, if you got a draft Monday or Tuesday, if you need that cram session, if you're that dude that just like waited, you know, until like midnight to do that full 3-page paper that you had to turn in the next day, we've got, I don't know, we got 12, 14, 20 hours. I don't know how many hours of podcasting that you can find. There is a whole lot that you can listen to on our website, inthisleague.com. We have done 5 mock drafts. We've done ranks analysis. We did a roundtable with some of the Roto World guys. The most extensive coverage as well. I'll give you a little insight on this, and then we're going to get into some ranks here. We are currently, and we are hosting a industry draft, and it's actually the No Halftime Pros League. No Halftime is sponsoring this. We're going to be following it all year, and we're going to be doing it solely on our basketball shows. So if you want to follow that, we've got some of the best in the industry, Bogman. We got Mike Gallagher, Steve Alexander, Jonas Nader from Roto World, Aaron Bruski, who won one of the Writers of the Year for basketball, Chris Towers from CBS. We've got some coverage at Roto Experts. We've got Fantasy Alarm, Justin Fensterman, Frank Stamfel, and we've got some listeners at ITL that are also participating, as well as Greg from officialfantasyrings.com. And lastly, Jesus, we got Joe and Dan from the Fantasy Black. They have all joined us in this Pros League, and it's a 14-man, 9-cat league. Now, ranks are dependent on the format that you're doing. If they're 9 category, 8 category, 8 is without turnovers, 9 is with turnovers. The standard is 9. Let's talk for a minute, just to give a little perspective for people before we get into these ranks, about this draft where Bogman ended up getting the 2nd overall pick. I got the 8th pick, and it's a whole nother ballgame when you're drafting with the best of the best in the industry. You can't get lucky. And I think following this draft of what we're doing is going to be a really big help to people trying to figure out what they want to do and how to build the proper team. So what was your strategy going in here? Because you got gifted with the 2nd overall pick.
Yeah, you know, when I look at my draft so far, I really like it. I mean, we know that guards go fast because we've done a lot of mock drafts. But you can't ignore big men and power forwards and the like. I mean, small forward is what we've ignored the most, and it's still probably one of the thinner positions.
Yeah.
So it's tough to know where to go, but my strategy was to take Harden or Curry, whoever's there. It was Harden for me. And then, see what falls to me. Because when you're on the wheel, it's such a long time. But you kind of have to have best and worst case scenario ready for that. And so far, so good for me. I really like what I've got. If you listen to our other podcast, you know I'm a big Kortat fan. I got him late in the 5th. I got Kemba Walker in the 2nd. And this is 16-man, so these guys could fall to the, you know, maybe 1 or 2 rounds later if you're not that deep. And Goran Dragic. So I loaded up guards quick, and I have 2 steady big men. I don't like punting percentages. If you haven't heard our podcast before, I am not a big punter. I won't take DeAndre Jordan, Andre Drummond, guys like that. Clint Capella is another one. Guys that will just absolutely annihilate your free throw percentage, because to me, you start down 0-1 every single week, and I don't like that.
They murder ball you. I mean, I've kind of seen like 3 ways to do drafts this year, because typically what's happening are guards are going early. By the time you get to the 3rd round, point guards are very few and far between, and there's just a very tiny, tiny little handful of guys that you're going to have to try to fight for. Players that are going to go very high. D'Angelo Russell, who's had tons of helium. You're going to try to fight for Goran Dragic, you know, or you're going to be in this back end of like, okay, can I get Dennis Schroeder? Am I going to have to start Tim Frazier? So point guards go early. So if you are not comfortable building a team not around point guards and punting them, you're going to have to take them early. Big men, there are decent big men in the middle area of the 4-5s, but the heavyweight, kind of like point guards, is in the beginning, and it gets, but the difference, though, big men can get really nasty on the back end of the draft. So I have typically found myself in a situation where, kind of like you alluded to, I'm avoiding the middle area a whole lot, unless, like, I don't have, like, a lot of small forwards. I have I multiple leagues. I've gone heavy point guard, heavy big men. I just go boom, 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 ignore the middle, except the 3rd type of team I like to put together, and this is what I'm currently doing in this pros draft, it's the do-all stuff and things team, we like to call it. It's the guys that do lots of stuff. Some of those guys are like, I took Giannis Antetokounmpo in the 1st round here, and then I put him with Draymond Green. I ended up getting Kyrie Irving, but then I ended up putting Trevor Ariza, and I went heavy on guys that get steals. I've got some heavy guys that are almost out of position that get assists. So if you, you know, if I don't want, I didn't want to fight for the point guards, but I got Antetokounmpo, who could have 6 to 7 assists this year, and Draymond Green. It was he averaged the most assists outside of the point guard position. The only forward that had that, I think he had 7 assists a game. He had the most assists that wasn't a point guard. So I took a lot of players that are doing lots of stuff in other areas, though I don't have a whole bunch of points here. And that's a way that you can do it if you're missing out on the point guards, or you're missing out on the big men that you want.
Yeah, and a thing that you need to know is that in fantasy basketball, there are guys that are specialists. There are guys that will only get blocks, or they're very good in steals, but they're not good in other things. Guys that are only good in assists, or, you know, like Ricky Rubio is almost a specialist. He gets a lot of steals. He gets a lot of assists. Doesn't do much else besides that.
Well, you know, I love him.
He's doing other stuff.
You're right. And Ricky Rubio, to me, when you punt free throws and you take DeAndre Drummond and DeAndre Jordan, which you should do, if you take one of them, you need to commit. That's a big thing I want to point, like, if you're like new to fantasy basketball, if you take Drummond and you take Jordan, you should commit to punting free throw and just take the guys that don't do great for your free throw. But what you should also do, and this is the art that's missed in the punt free throw, you need to dominate other categories. And what do I mean by that? You need to go dominate assists. And you can, because the guys like Rubio and Rondo, they fall. People don't want them. Because the percentages are goofy. Field goal percentage sucks, but you got those big guys that carry 55-60% field goal. So you go take Rubio and Rondo, you murder ball the assist, you do great in steals, the big guys are getting you rebounds and blocks and field goal percentage. Then later in the draft, you need to make up your threes. Go take Wesley Matthews, JJ Redick, and then maybe all that you're doing at the end of the day is you're punting free throw and you're trying to fight for points, but you're getting those other elite areas. So it's really, Ricky Rubio, you're right, he is a specialist, and I see him as a specialist to that team that is trying to absolutely dominate assists because maybe you've punted free throw.
What is your, because a lot of the times if we're saying we're punting or we're taking point guard and center and power forward, what is your latest acceptable starting small forward for your team, would you say? Is it Marvin Williams, Danny Green, Kemp Bazemore, Fournier,
I mean
Gallinari?
I sure, all of them, but I mean
Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
Yeah, Stanley Johnson. I mean, you're asking me to put, like, what's the least acceptable? All of those guys, because if my starting small forward is
Ilyasova,
Ilyasova is really pushing it. But like Stanley, okay. If let's say it's Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, I'm assuming I've got a pretty killer set of guards and centers. I think I'm going to be really, really strong. And I think that's okay. I just don't like to, there's the tip before, let's talk about the ranks here in a second. The tip is, I don't like to necessarily piecemeal this whole team where, you know, where someone, and it's not, there's nothing wrong with this, but where you go like, well, I want to have a guard.
This guy's blocks, this guy's assists, yeah. This guy's steals.
My first four picks has got to be a point guard, a shooting guard, a power forward, and a center. No, I don't like to do that. You're not doing that, dude. You're killing your point guards. You got Harden, Walker, and Dragic. You are dominating that category, and then you've put two big men. You have no small forward in the pros league that we're doing. Me? I have got all these guys that are do-it-alls. Trevor Ariza is going to be an elite steals and threes guy. I've got Irving to put out my point, and I got Draymond and Antetokounmpo. All those guys are very similar in what they do. I like to double down on categories. So that's more of a way that I treat it. I go take Damian Lillard. I either want to take Hassan Whiteside with him in the second round or another point guard. I'd like to get two point guards. So domination is a good way.
The nation of domination.
It should be. You should be the nation of domination in fantasy basketball.
Take Farouk in the second round.
And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because you can do it. Now, so what we're going to do here on the other side of this break is we're going to talk to you about the first four rounds of our ranks. Bogman and I have done individual positional rankings, forwards, guards, and centers, which you can find at inthisleague.com, or if you want the newest and updates, patreon.com/ITL Army. You want to be a part of that. We update those all the time. But we put our top 200 together to give you a better idea of, you know, where those drafts should go, where these players should actually flow. Though we always like to put a caveat to tell you, don't follow a top 200 list like it's gospel. Because
no.
I don't, like, I'm the perfect example. And Titicuambo is not a player that I like at 1-8. I do not have him ranked at 8, and you're going to find that out in a little bit. But in this instance, in this league that I'm playing against with these industry guys, he made the most sense for my team because a couple players didn't fall that I thought would. So you have to adjust on the fly, and if you do it right, you can win your fantasy basketball league, and you're going to have a damn blast.
That is rad. Basketball is a lot of fun. If you haven't tried it yet, for sure give it a try. And check out inthisleague.com. We've got all the fantasy basketball information you could ever want there.
Damn right.
We will make it great again for you.
We're making it great again. All right. Coming up on the other side of the break, it's the top 48 players. We're going to highlight two in each round. So you're going to get a total of 16 players we're going to have a conversation about, as well as obviously talking about what the first round looks like. And you can follow along at inthisleague.com with those ranks. Don't go anywhere. I am the Welsh. That is Bogman. This is In This League on the very, very awesome Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Come on.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Well, how about all starters? 48, I have Gorgui Dieng. 47, Nerlens Noel. 46, Zach LaVine. Jabari Parker, 45. Love Jabari Parker. Miles Turner, 44. Andrew Wiggins, 43. Goran Dragic at 42. Nicholas Batum. Trevor Ariza. Mike Conley. Jonas Valanciunas. And Kevin Love at 37. In a row?
37. I've got Marc Gasol at 48 and then Valanciunas to 47. Nick Batum, Eric Bledsoe, Pau Gasol, Miles Turner, Marcin Gortat, Gorgui Dieng, Goran Dragic. Try to say those names back to back. Blake Griffin, Nikola Vucevic, and Mike Conley at 37, the Welsh.
37.
My girlfriend sucked 37 in a row.
Give me your first guy there. We were kind of alluding to him. I believe we're going to talk some Gorgui Dieng. What do you
draft?
What
Gorgui
number?
Dieng.
What
draft.
Number?
41, draft Gorgui Dieng.
At 41?
Yes, draft him. He's, if you're taking guards early, like this is what I like to do. I like to take the best player I can in the first round.
Hot take.
Take top-tier players, the Welsh. I learned it from you. It's a good strategy.
It is.
All right? So then in the second round, I usually like to take a guard because I'm usually this year I've been picking really high, so I like to take Kemba Walker, Kyle Lowry, one of those guys. Third round, best player available-ish, leaning towards a guard because the guards go so fast. So usually for me, it's been Mike Conley. And then Gorgui Dieng in the next round because he's so good. I mean,
his
per
36s are stupid.
It's Peck and Garnett being gone. So behind him is Bielitsa and Adrian Payne, Cole Aldrich. I mean, come on, man.
Well, no, you don't even worry. You don't have to worry. That's a big thing with him. You don't worry about the competition that's with him.
Taking stupid minutes on
the There's just a lot of guys. There's a lot of mouths to feed.
Yeah, I understand, but I don't care about his points. Like, I get points from other players. I like to take D'Angelo in the next round. I'll take my points there. So, but it's the seven boards, which is going to go up because he's going to have more minutes. And it's the possibility for two blocks and a steal a game, and he doesn't turn the ball over. And we do a lot of nine cat. He shoots really good in both spots, free throw and field goal. And he can take the occasional three. I mean, it's not his forte, but he can take it. I love Gorgui Dieng, man. I love taking him, and I talk him up too much because I don't think I own him anywhere.
No, you probably won't. The guy I'm going to talk about, huge, huge helium. Everybody wants. Everybody's taking. I feel we were lucky, one of the few places that got to really talk about the massive hype where they should be going early on. It's Miles Turner. Hook him, Bogman.
Hook him.
Yahoo, he's got a pre-rank already of 38 when it was 118. About 80 freaking spots in less than a month he's moved up. I have him at 44. Trying to be a little bit more realistic, but you gotta love he's a high block guy. Last Friday put up 17.6 rebounds, an assist, a steal, three blocks, no turnovers, even rocked a three-pointer in 32 minutes. Last year in 22 minutes, 10 minutes less, 10 points, 5 rebounds, under an assist, under a steal, with a block and a half a game. Pretty damn good percentages too, and you can see they're already getting better. This is a guy that's going to be a 30-minute guy. I can see 15 points. I think he hovers close to the 10-rebound mark. A lot of shooters around him. The blocks should be into the twos, and the turnovers are really low, so he's really valuable in 9-cat. This top, 35 stuff is scary, but after that, I mean, you get him in the fourth round, awesome, awesome spot, especially if you went consistent with your guards too. You know, Chris Paul, John Wall, maybe you get like another big man in the third round. Maybe you could get like, you know what I really like? Imagine this, Boggs. Chris Paul, John Wall, Rudy Gobert, Miles Turner.
I think the way the draft has been going, you're more likely to get Miles Turner and then Rudy Gobert, but they both have a lot of helium. Yeah, man. I mean, that is an excellent draft. I would love to get that pairing, especially because the guards, you're getting really, really good guards. You're so elite there. And then the big men have a lot of upside.
The only thing I do want to pair, even though I said Gobert, I really would love to pair Turner with a lockdown like big man that I really, really trust. So, I mean, if you did go in the high end, like an Al Horford, you got Cousins, trying to think, you know, Anthony Davis, love to pair him with those guys.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. My next guy, the Welsh, I'm surprised because we've done three drafts and I think I have him in at least two leagues. Mike Conley. We talked about how much I don't like Mike Conley. I don't know if it's because I have him at 37
in a row.
I don't know if it's because I'm afraid of the guard run, but he's just good. And he's going late, and I think people are passing him up to take the Arizas and the D'Angelos. And I don't know, man, just 15 points, 6 assists, and 1.5 threes. And the big thing for turnover league, I think I really like to pair Conley with D'Angelo Russell because 1.5 turnovers, and I have no clue what I'm going to get from D'Angelo, probably close to 3.5 or 4 a game. So knowing that I have my Conley helps me out a lot because it's low turnovers for him. I can take the high turnovers on D'Angelo, and those are two really good guards to have. I don't know, man. I don't like his face. I don't really particularly care for owning him, but he's been going at such a value. I feel like where I've gotten him in all the drafts, I had to take him.
Remember, I got him in our keeper league.
I don't have him in.
I went crazy point guard, and I have Chris Paul, Conley, Schroeder, and Darren Collison, and I have somebody else that I'm forgetting. And Conley was like crazy value. I got him like the 50s or 60s or something like that. So I totally agree. And I love the idea of if you're in a nine cap, pairing him with a high turnover guy. You go get Russell Westbrook, James Harden, John Wall, and you compare Conley with him. He kind of mitigates the turnovers a little bit. The last guy in this round of this 48 through 37 rank, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite, the do-it-aller players. I really love the idea of going in and getting a bunch of players that do all the stuff and the things. And this player leads the charge. It's Nicholas Batum in Charlotte. 45% free throw, 15.6 rebounds, 6 assists, a full steal, half a block. Not great free field goal percentage, but 2 threes a game. The turnovers get a little squirrely with him. But Nicholas Batum does all the things. He is fantastic if you had to punt assists from the point guard position and you're looking to pair it in other places. You know, maybe you can get LeBron and Batum. I mean, Jesus, those are two of the best assist players in the NBA, regardless of position. And I want, like, every league I do, the damn guy goes top 40. I never get him, but his preseason rank is 48. I have him at 41. Can't get him anywhere, but you should try to get him. If you are in the back end of the fourth round, or, oh, Jesus, man, if you were on the wheel and you could get, like, you know, I mean, you'd just be so lucky. What if you could get Conley and Batum on the wheel in the fourth, fifth round? I mean, you're swimming in it.
Hey, oh, there's a spooky ghost everywhere.
It's ectoplasm.
Yeah, I'm just, every time I hear you gush about Nick Batum, I have to smile because it's such a big turnaround for you. And what number did you have him at again?
I'm at 41.
I'm at 46, so you are officially ahead of me on the Batum bandwagon.
But people were taking him 22 years ago, and that was my problem with him.
I understand. Yeah. But he's always been a pretty damn good player, and now that he's being drafted appropriately, I really like him. I'm with you. I love Batum, and he's a do-it-all guy. So if you're in that situation, I think he's a really good player to take when you're like, man, I have a really balanced team. Why don't I just put more balance to this?
Yeah.
And boom, Nick Batum. He's like the guy that you take when you've drafted the perfect team.
All right, let's go up 36 to 25. We're on the home stretch here, the last three rounds, quote-unquote, of players. Bogman, why don't you give me 36 to 25 for you?
All right, 36, I got Carmelo. CJ McCollum, Jokic, Trevor Ariza, Isaiah Thomas, Kevin Love, Brooke Lopez, Klay Thompson, Derek Favors, a little down on him, Rudy Gobert, Kristaps Porzingis and Victor Oladipo at 25.
I also have Melo at 36. I don't know if we have that many. You know, when you get
samesies
to the top 10. Yeah,
twinsies.
Actual samesies. 35, I got Blake Griffin. 34, Rudy Gobert. Then Serge Ibaka, CJ McCollum, Isaiah Thomas, Nikola Jokic at 30. Derek Favors at 29. Eric Bledsoe, Brooke Lopez, Kemba Walker, and Klay Thompson at 35 or 25. Bogman, what do you think? Where do you want to start here?
I got Trevor Ariza, threesis. I mean, I've said it before. I'll say it again. He's already elite threes and elite steals. All right, so you have that. And he's going to score way more points in Mike D'Antoni's system. 4.5 boards last year. You didn't expect that when I said it. You didn't expect almost 5 boards from Trevor Ariza. More opportunities because the pace is higher. The pace is going to be higher. There's going to be more opportunities for boards for him too. 2.3 assists. That's going to go up because there's going to be more opportunities, just like I said. It doesn't block too much, but he also doesn't turn the ball over. Maybe it's going to go up a little more because, like we said with all the other stuff, there's more opportunity for it. But Ariza's a guy I want on my team. I haven't been getting him because I've been drafting in weird spots. But I really like Trevor Ariza for this season, and he was 37 overall on Yahoo last season. Just think about how much more, with the more stuff and things that we love to talk about, he can move up. Could he be a top 2-round player? I don't know if he's that high, but that's the kind of potential he has. The upside is pretty strong, and the floor is lower than people think.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I mean, one of the things, and you have to look at like the value of the positional stats that these guys have too. So, you know, threes are easy to pick up, but you know, over 2 threes a game, you're getting into the elite-ish category, and he's there. He is the top of the elite players in steals, which is probably one of the toughest stats to actually accumulate. And then he's also contributing in assists, rebounds, decent points, which those points are probably going to go up in D'Antoni's system. Great free throw, even though he doesn't shoot a bunch. Field goal percentage brings you down. Really the only, like, he's kind of an albatross in blocks and field goal percentage, but you don't expect blocks. I like him in all facets. I love getting him in like that 40 range. I have him right at 40. That's where I have him. But he is really tough to get. He does seem like a player that, like, when this certain crop or tier of players kind of go, you know, like maybe you're like 35 and all of a sudden, you know, Gobert went. Yeah, then people are like, I'm just taking Ariza. Boom.
Right. People are truthers. You're an Ariza truther or you're not. And I'm here to tell you that the earth is flat. Trevor Ariza told me so, and I believe it.
All right, well, that's good. The guy I'm going to go with, you actually have really high. I didn't realize you had him this high. I have him at 34. You have him at 27. It's Rudy Gobert. And he is like I would call him the fantasy roller coaster over the last 12 months or, you know, whatever you want to call it. About a year from last year's preseason where he was, we saw him going in the first round last season. He was the most hyped up player of the entire season last year. He is all, and for intensive purposes, he is the Antetokounmpo Jokic all wrapped in one from last season, and he just didn't pay off. You know, he was a bottom end 60 to 70 return value of people that took him in the top 20. Points never got there. Rebounds were great. Blocks were still pretty good, but he just was not the same player. Now, he dropped back down into early draft season. His pre-rank was in the 50-60s. Now it's come back up, and he's 40 on Yahoo. And I saw him in, what was it, our pros league that we're doing. It's the No Halftime Industry Pros League with, you know, some of the best dudes, and he went 25 overall. That's how hyped people are on Gobert, because he's trying
it's
to improve.
Preseason.
Yeah, well, you see the improvement on the free throws, which could be huge, bigger part of the offense, and people are getting jacked again.
That's my thing with him, and that's why I moved him up so far, is because of the free throws. He's knocking down the free throws. I mean, we saw his potential 2 years ago. He's already, 2.2 blocks. You were expecting way more last year, weren't you?
You were expecting close to the three.
Yeah, exactly. Close to the threes and more steals, I think, this year. Just more everything around.
I think what you were looking for last year was like legitimately really kind of what Hassan Whiteside did. Actually, you know, in the preseason, I kind of thought Gobert would do all the things that Whiteside did and Whiteside would do what Gobert ended up being. And they kind of switch roles. I really thought he'd be a three block, maybe 14, 15 points, double digit on the rebounds. And then everything else was gravy. Yeah.
Gallagher was talking about that last year because I had a decision in our keeper league. Do I keep Gobert or do I keep Whiteside? And of course, I look foolish because I kept Gobert. But I think that there is so much chance for return this season that I don't sweat it. I think Gobert is going to be perfectly fine, especially if he's knocking down those free throws. If he wasn't knocking down the free throws, I would probably put him in the Nerlens Noel, where I have him area, like around the 49, 50-ish, around the Valanciunas's and Marc Gasol's. But now that he's knocking down those free throws, he's got to go up because he's elite steals, he's elite boards, and he's going to score more like him this year.
One of the things I really would like, and this has been one of my favorite pairings, if you had the ability in the first two rounds, let's say you have the wheel, you have the last two picks in the draft, let's call it 12-man just for argument's sake. You go get, and some people might think it's reaching, you get Whiteside, doesn't matter which pick because you have the wheel, and let's just, again, for argument's sake, let's say you got Damian Lillard. You get Lillard and you get Whiteside. Then the back end on the wheel of the third and fourth round, you go take Gobert and you take Mike Conley. Mike Conley, he evens out what Dame does on turnovers, and then you've now just paired Gobert with Whiteside. And you, I think that's just it's a killer recipe.
I like it. I like that team.
All right, what do you got?
Solid squad.
What do you got on the second one in this grouping of 12 guys?
Derek Favors. I still really like Derek Favors. I have him at 28. I have lowered him a little bit just because this is one of those situations where you do the draft, you don't realize that you're not going to take the guy that you have ranked higher. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is something that, you know, as podcasters and rankers, we have. But I keep taking Serge Ibaka above him. And I think I'm just so much more excited about what Serge is going to do in Orlando that I have to take Serge ahead of him. And it's not that I don't like Derek Favors. Maybe the injury stuff. We talked about it in the ranks episode, the centers episode, that he missed a bunch of games and he's kind of had that proclivity. But he's a double-double type of guy, and he gets blocks and he gets steals. He does all the things that you want to do. I think I just lowered him because of the injury stuff. The free throws aren't great, but they're not, you know, I mean, he's better than Gobert. But he's not really elite in anything, but he's solid across everything. So that is really good. He's like a little bit – he's a better version of Gorgui Dieng, who's also injury prone. That's what I'll say about Favors. So
he's not sexy.
He's a risk-reward type of player, and where you got to take him in the third round is usually where he goes, third or fourth. I don't know if that's the risk I want to take right there.
Well, he's been an early three guy. Remember, he fell to me in one of our drafts, so it's like 45 or something like that, and I swooped him up. I couldn't pass on it. But he's not sexy. Feels like he's been around for 100,000 years because just of how young he was and in you know, with the Nets and everything like that. I just feel like he's never quite lived up to expectations. But the thing I do worry about is, are you going to have this adverse effect if Gobert is more effective this year? Is that going to make Favors less effective?
That's also a point, because I have them right next to each other. But I put Gobert at 27 and Favors at 28 because I would take Gobert ahead of Favors now.
The thing I like is that he's just falling. Like Favors is becoming now a value pick. And that's something that I'm all a part of. Let's see where I have Favors, because I have him at 29. So I have him one spot below you. So, I mean, it's in that vicinity. And actually, the guy I want to talk about is right below him. This is I've got a nickname for him. It's Nikola Jokic. That's a player we're going to talk about. The most hyped player, probably the biggest jump from last season to this season, a complete unknown last year.
Yeah,
complete unknown last year to being drafted in the top 25. Yahoo has him at 25. I have him at 30. My problem is this, and the name that I'm going to give him, is I'm calling him Effective Jokic, because I feel like that's going to be the headline next to him every single night. Like, I see on Roto World, they've got Jokic was effective against the Warriors. 14 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists with a steal and a 3-pointer. And what I'm worried about is that is the continuation of him the entire season. He'll always be effective. He's never going to be elite. His per 39s are great. And you can see, if you look at the per 39s and like how the Nuggets value him, and he's like 20 years old, you could see why people would want him in the top 25 and why he's an easy top 25 pick in a keeper league. But I don't think he's the type of guy that's going to be, I don't think his per 39 is going to, or per 36 is going to work out. I've talked a whole lot about this on our shows where I see, you know, I see him mirroring a lot of Jonas Valanciunas, you know, where they're going to taper some of the minutes. I'd be surprised if he's a 30 plus minute guy this year. Nurkic seems to be running away with a lot of stuff. Gary Harris is back. I think Jokic from a night in, night out is going to be effective, and you're going to love having him on your team. But when you have this realization that you took him like 20, and you're getting 10 points, 10 rebounds, and you could go get that from Gobert, you know, maybe 20 picks later. I just don't, I want to continue that I don't buy the top 25. I don't buy the two round thing. I may eat my words. I think I feel like I have him high at 30. I would feel so much more comfortable on the wheel of this round in the third round at pick 36. If I could go take Jokic and Gobert, God bless me. God bless me if I got two guards. If I went and got Chris Paul, John Wall on the wheel of first and second round, and then I took Jokic and Gobert, that feels a whole lot better than taking my 19th overall pick with Jokic. I can't do it, Bogman. I can't do it.
It's too high, you know. And,
too much.
And neither one of us will own Jokic because the helium is so high and the name is so high. But we had this discussion in the last show. I'd rather have Nurkic in like the 8th or 7th, wherever he's going. And he's getting a lot of helium 100%. Too. But I'd rather have him much more than I'd have Jokic in the 2nd or even the 3rd.
Jokic went 22 overall in our No Halftime Industry Pros League. 22. Aaron Brewski. You can't hate Aaron Brewski, Gallagher. They love Jokic and they backed it up. Favor. Oh, in like the. Like
just flat out, 3rd round. Who do you have ranked higher?
Oh, I have favors. I have him one spot ahead. I have him one spot ahead of Jokic.
I feel like that's the thing is you're either a favors, Gobert, Brook Lopez type of guy, or you're a I'm going to take a risk and I'm going to take Jokic kind of guy, and that's not me. I don't swing the Jokic way. It's not what I'm going to do.
Who does? Who does? Sounds like
Gallagher.
Sounds like a dirty trip.
Swinging all over that Jokic mine. I'm not doing it. All right, we're going to stop right here for a break. You know, rounds 3 through 4. Got some good information in there for you. And coming up next, we're going to go over the top 2 rounds. Who do we have in the top 2 Ooh. Rounds? Why? Coming up right after this break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Last 2 rounds here, talking our ranks, top 24, 24 to 13. How about I'll give you mine? LaMarcus Aldridge, 24. Victor Oladipo. 23. 3-6 Latvia.
3-6 Latvia. 3-6 Latvia.
3-6 Latvia.
In your face.
3-6 Latvia.
3-6 Latvia.
3-6 Latvia.
In your face.
At 22, lots of Sounders. Kyle Lowry, Kyrie Irving, John Wall at 19, Draymond Green at 18, Jimmy Butler, Paul Millsap at 16, DeMarcus Cousins at 15, Al Horford at 14, Paul George at 13. What do you got?
I've got Serge at 24, LaMarcus Aldridge at 23. Then I go Whiteside, Irving, Lowry, Kemba Walker at 19, John Wall, Jimmy Butler, Draymond, DeMarcus Cousins, Al Horford, LeBron at 13.
Jimmy Butler. Who do you want to talk about here in ranks 24 through 13?
LaMarcus Aldridge. I have him at 23. I could see myself, you know, flipping him out for Serge Ibaka, but I feel like, I don't know. I every time I look at LaMarcus and move him up, because I remember what I did last year, and I was like, I don't know. He's going to San Antonio from Portland. You know, Tim Duncan. I'm just not sure. Dude finished 28 last year. I mean, he's a second or third round pick, and he's going to provide you that type of value. I know that Powell is coming in, and Powell is going to take a little bit from him. But the closer it gets to the season, the less and less I'm worried about it. Because he's a 50% field goal shooter, 85% free throw shooter. He gets points and boards. He's not so sexy in the steals and blocks, a half a steal and over one block. No turnovers, though, 1.3, and he'll dime it. And he's going to have more opportunities to do the stuff and things this year, I think. He's just good. He's just a good player, and a lot of the time when you look at the stuff and the things, the Welsh, you don't think about the percentages. And this is a guy that you take, and you know he's helping both of your percentages, and you can take a little bit more of the risk. You can go and take the Jeremy Lins and the D'Angelo Russells because you have LaMarcus Aldridge taking 15 shots a game and shooting 51%.
He's heavy in the stuff, and you can still go replace some of the things.
Right, exactly. So, and you can take like a pairing I like, LaMarcus Aldridge and Nick Batum.
Dude, okay, this is so funny that you say that. I was going to give you a top 4 round pairing because I think a perfect pairing for LaMarcus Aldridge is Miles Turner. The Hook'em brothers in the second and fourth round. And I was going to say in the third round, I like Batum. And then in the first round, so let's say you probably had a high-ish pick in the first round. So let's say you got Westbrook and then you get Aldridge, and then you go and snatch Batum and Miles Turner. That's insane. There's so much stuff and things across that team, you're not going to even know what to do with.
All I want to do now is go have a team where it's Kevin Durant, and I take LaMarcus Aldridge and Miles Turner.
All the
and
UT.
And take Bradley. Yeah, the whole UT team. It's awesome.
Why can't you have that? I wish you could have that.
I can't have nice things.
No, you can't have nice things. No, ever. Oh, so jaded. I feel so bad for Bogman. I do. I actually do.
I don't
want to see you suffer that much.
Yeah, that much. Okay.
I want to
now
see
I believe you.
I want,
now that there was a hint of truth when you said that much, now I believe you.
I want you to suffer at my hands, not otherworldly hands.
Great.
Okay. The guy I'm going to talk about has his own song of our pairing. It is the John Wall side of the Chris Paul John Wall. And, you know, I'd love to say that people are sleeping on him, but I don't
think there
is a consensus on him. If you talk to some of the heavy industry guys, he's going past the 20s. Yahoo has him at 26, which provides you a great value. In almost every draft you and I have done, he has gone top 10. And we're talking nine cat. Nobody turns the ball over, or not many people, turn the ball over like John Wall, who's in the fours. So he's just a murder ball on the turnovers. But he is elite assists. He's elite steals. He's almost in the elite points category with 5 rebounds from a point guard. Great free throw percentage, gets a 3. He does almost a block a game. He does everything, and he just brings down your turnovers and field goal percentage from a point guard, and he gets no love. And I have him at 19, and I think that's a great, great spot for him. But I have seen him go top 7. It's unbelievable where I've seen him go.
There's nobody with crazier opinions than people with John Wall.
Yeah.
Because he's either a first rounder. I mean, Chris Towers loves the dude. He's either a first rounder, top 10 player, or he's a second to third round, you know,
I won't kill anybody on the wheel.
Second round.
I wouldn't kill anybody on the wheel if they took John Wall with a pairing of a Chris Paul or a Hassan Whiteside, or there's a bunch of different pairings. Hey, you just want to just say F you turnovers. I don't even care. Go get DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall. Pair those two together. Have fun with that team. You're going to turn the ball over 9 times in 3 minutes. But guess what? You got elite rebounds. You got elite points. You got elite assists. That could be an insane pairing. So I'm not against it. I love John Wall. 19. You actually have him at 18, which is a little surprising. But give me some John Wall.
I love Lamb. I love Lamb. A guy that I keep taking and the Welsh keeps noticing and rolling his eyes is Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker in the second round of a 16-man draft, that's for me, it's usually into the 30s, so he's falling, and I'm getting him at a pretty decent value. Where do you have Kemba?
I have him at 26.
26. So where I'm getting him in the 30s, you actually kind of like him.
Yeah, you get a good value. Yeah, it's just like I almost took him multiple times.
Can I tell you why you hate Kemba?
Sure.
Can I explain it to you like I'm a therapist?
Please.
It's because until this year, he shot terribly. In the past years, he was under 40% every year, and now he's at 42%. I remember bashing him.
I've owned him before.
And not taking him. I was like, I'm not taking that dude. He can't shoot. But now that he's found his shot, still super young, you know he can take over. He took over the whole tournament and won UConn a championship. He was amazing there. He's starting to develop that skill into the NBA game. He's starting to become one of those elite type of players. I think that he just takes another step up. I don't know if the step up is going to be more points and assists. I don't know if it's better shooting percentage. I don't know where it is, but I know he's a hard worker. I know he's a leader. He works on his game, and I respect that. And I really like Kemba Walker. And I've been trying to add him where I can, because especially since the point guards go so fast.
Well, and I tell you, then you're getting a fantastic value on your end. If you value him at 19 and you're getting him in the 30s, you're just screaming value. So I love it. I love that you're doing that. I just get into this place where I'm faced with Kemba Walker or Eric Bledsoe or Isaiah Thomas or McCollum, and I'm just like, I'll just wait a little bit, and then Walker goes and Bledsoe goes, and I'm like, all right, I'll take McCollum or Thomas. You know, just like he's a lateral movement player for me. He's just a bridge for me.
Another thing I like about him is the turnovers, man. 2.1.
Yeah, no, it's 2.1. That's true. But he's just a bridge gap for me. He's a player that I look at and I'm like, okay, cool, point guards, and I keep going.
I think you look at him and you go, well, that's one player off the board I don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of guys that I do that with.
Hope someone takes him soon so that gets other players to me.
Exactly. I mean, there's plenty of guys that everybody has like that. Like, I'm probably not taking Whiteside in any draft. And that's kind of how I look at him. But I do have him fairly high. So.
Well, you want to talk about safeguard players, you know, when you don't want to take risks. I'm actually surprised you and I have him in the same spot, but I've been on him all year.
Phrasing.
Love the dude. It's Al Horford. Moved over to Boston. I have him at 14 overall. Last year, 15.7 rebounds, 3 assists, elite blocks, 1.5, almost a full steal, amazing percentages, and a 3 a game with low turnovers. He is the epitome of stuff and things. He is Al Whore full of stuff and things. That is his name for this year. He does all of it, and he's going to Boston. He's going to be the man, and it should all jump. I think the points jump up to close to 18. I see 8-plus rebounds. I think the assists and steals stick. I'd love to see a little bit more blocks and the percentages. He's unsexy. He doesn't seem like the player when you're staring at players like John Wall and Irving and Jimmy Butler and DeMarcus Cousins, and you're just like, well, Horford. He wins you at your league. And I did early on in the season. He was able to – he fell to me one time in the third round. He's not going to do that here. But if you think he could, he should be a target for you. Love the idea if you got the third or fourth pick in the draft and you got a Durant or a Harden or Westbrook and then you could come back and get Horford, you are winning. Winning.
Winning. You know, there's questions about Al Horford, sure, because he's moving to a new system. But I feel like – Al Horford is more of a sure thing than LaMarcus Aldridge. And LaMarcus Aldridge isn't moving, but he, you know, Powell's moving in there. While I don't think that's going to be a big deal, it's something you have to take into consideration. And Boston really needs Al Horford. And he wants to be a team leader. He was tired of what they had going on in Atlanta, always coming up short. You know, Boston is a storied franchise that's won before. And especially in 9-cat, you have to love Horford. I am at the exact same spot that you do at 14. Love Horford.
It's a beautiful thing. All right, let's move into the first round here. It's our top 12 players. Bogman, give me your top 12.
I've got Damian Lillard, tough for me between him and LeBron, but I put Dame over LeBron. Then I've got Paul George, Paul Millsap at 10, AD, GA at 8, Leonard, Paul with Cat, and then Westbrook, Durant, Curry, Harden.
All right, my top 12, I have Hassan Whiteside at 12, Giannis Antetokounmpo at 11, Dame at 10, LeBron at 9, AD at 8, Chris Paul at 7, Kawhi at 6, Kat at 5, Kevin Durant at 4, and then, I don't know, man, like, do I have to give a number to these three? They just interchange.
1A, 1B, 1C.
Got it, Harden, Westbrook, and Curry, you know, from 3 to 1, but, I mean, I'm not killing any, it really becomes about preference. Harden is going to destroy. Westbrook is
like
going to be a triple double machine
in there too.
Yeah, I could, like, dude, I'm not killing anyone who takes Cat at 4.
Right, the top 5 are kind of interchangeable at this point, because we've seen Cat go as high as 3, and obviously in keeper leagues go 1. But I don't know, man. I think that the first round is pretty easy. I mean, you know. Well, what are you going to talk about? Like, I have Chris Paul over Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, you can't. Well, you can talk about
injuries,
players.
Okay,
so let me throw this then. Let me throw this, because this was a change that I made prior to doing this, was Hassan Whiteside. I had Hassan Whiteside in the 16 to 17 area. That's where I liked him.
Yeah.
And I think that was a great part. But something that I noticed to myself, in the we've done multiple industry drafts now, a million mocks. We've done drafts with our listeners, the ITL Army. And something that happened, because I've, for whatever damn reason this year, you've had like tons of the high picks. You got all the shares of Curry and Harden. I'm
right.
Always like 8 or 10 or 12 or 14 or some crap. And I'm always in this position when I'm near the wheel where I'm like, I'm going to take Whiteside. I'm going to pair Whiteside with a guard, and I want to do that every single time. So because of my drafting habits, I had to put Whiteside at 12, because if I had the wheel and I missed out on Lillard and Davis and LeBron and Antetokounmpo and Whites, and I was on the wheel, I would probably take Whiteside in any combination of, pending the league format, if I was in a 9-cat and, or if I was an 8-cat and Cousins were there, I'd take him. But Whiteside and Paul George, Whiteside and Butler, if I was feeling squirrely, Whiteside and Wall. So I just wanted to, you know, to show that at the end of the day, because of what this guy is doing and what he means to his position, he is the elite blocker in the game, elite rebounds, and he's going to be a focal point of the offense with Goran Dragic dishing him the ball. I think he belongs there, so I have him at 12.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not a Whiteside guy. And
yeah, where the hell do you have him? You have a 22?
I got him at 22. Yeah, I started to get on board when I looked at his last couple months after he changed his free throw percentage, or after he changed his shooting, and his percentage went way up. It went up to like 75%. I'm like, well, that's amazing. I mean, that's where Millsap and GA and LeBron are all in that same type of 70-ish to 75% range. But then I saw him in the preseason go 4-for-10 again, and I was like, oh, here we go again with this. Like, he's just too bipolar on that stuff for me to want to invest a pick in. And that's kind of why I moved Damian Lillard up, talking about doing the preseason mocks and the actual drafts run now, is the point guards start to fly off the board. So I just bumped Damian Lillard up one spot into the first round over LeBron. And I mean, I'll never get LeBron at 13 in any league ever.
I got him at 15 in one league, I think.
Wasn't that a keeper league, though?
It was a keeper league, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a little different. But I don't think in any redraft league, LeBron is going outside of the first round.
Okay, two things.
And I totally get that. But I just bumped up Lillard because of the guard streak that we've seen.
A couple quick notes, because there's, you know, first round is a first round. If you have questions on the first round, is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? Those are our Twitter handles. We can help. But a couple things I do want to cover here. And Titicuambo, who I have at 11, and you have at 8. In full transparency, I do like to mix my leagues up. And in the No Halftime Pros Industry League, I took him.
Diversify your bonds.
I took him at, yeah, exactly. Diversify yourself. I took him at 8 because I was hoping some lucky thing would fall, and Kawhi was there at 7, and I was like, oh, maybe. Nope, didn't happen. So I was like, well, I'm going to change some stuff up a little bit. And I went with Antetokounmpo. So that's why, you know, ranks aren't, you know, they're not all shared equally. It was also a 9 cat. Damian Lillard, you know, he definitely dropped some out. I didn't want another share of LeBron. And in transparency, if Anthony Davis was not hurt, 100% would have been my pick. It's so fresh that he was hurt, and we don't know much. You know, if it's a week from now and you're doing
your draft story,
yeah. If you're in your draft and it's like, okay, things are looking better, I would have taken Anthony Davis at 8, and I have him at 8. So I just wanted to point that out. The thing I do want to ask you though is, why do you have Westbrook at 4? Like, we do not agree in our top 3, yet we do. Like, we don't share the same player in one place in our top 3. But also our top 4, because I think Westbrook, Harden, and Curry are the top 3, but you put them at 4. So what's up with Durant over Westbrook?
I just don't think that Durant is going to take a big step back. And Curry's the best player in the world. So it's hard for me to not put Curry 1. But I mean, I really try to think of this with my head and not my heart, where I put Harden. I just, you know, if Mike D'Antoni went to go coach the Thunder, I would have Westbrook at 1, because I saw what Steve Nash did for the Suns. And I think that Harden is a more athletic Nash. I think Westbrook is a more athletic Nash. I think that pace is going to be really high. With Westbrook, I'm not so scared of the injuries, but I think that the turnovers are going to be a lot. I think he's going to have even more turnovers than Harden, because he did last year with Durant out. And I don't think Durant takes a step back. And we've seen his pedigree, where he's already been the number one player a bunch of times. It's not really that I don't like Westbrook. It's that I like these other guys so much.
Okay.
So that's why I have Westbrook at 4.
I just think Westbrook is next level talent. I think Oladipo,
but he's not better than Durant. I mean, maybe in fantasy wise, he could be.
But that's
Durant is the best player.
Yeah, that's our consideration.
LeBron Durant.
It's fantasy consideration. When Durant was out, this guy was averaging a triple double a game. I don't give two shits about his turnovers when the guy's averaging a triple double a game, and not enough credit is being given to Victor Oladipo playing beside him. I think that is a huge, huge thing for him. Plus, you got a couple other guys there. You know, you got Enes Kanter that's ready to take the next step. I think Westbrook is going to be able to center himself out. I think Oladipo is going to play a bigger role in the maturation of this player than people think. So that's why I have Russell Westbrook at 2.
They're already best friends.
Yeah, and I think you're gonna see the play on the court. It's gonna translate into a fantastic, fantastic place, which probably is gonna help Oladipo even more than it does Westbrook. But it's the top 5, the top 6. Though it can be interchangeable, it's pretty set. Then from there, it all does become a crapshoot. Depends on you know, what strategies, what league you're playing in, what format. But there you go. That's the top 200 of our ranks, which you can find the entire list at InThisLeague.com. Hope you guys enjoyed that. It was a nice different take. And this is what In This League is all about in this episode. We've done a whole lot of coverage on fantasy football, and it's been warranted. But we don't want to ignore fantasy basketball, because it's an important part of what we do. It's actually how In This League started. And I think we've put our good footprint in the fantasy basketball world. So if you are interested in any fantasy basketball information, or fantasy baseball information, or college football, go to InThisLeague.com. Check out what we have. We've got some unique stuff as far as ranks analysis. We put up all of our mock drafts so you can read them by round and team. And we have full episodes of every sport we do. As a matter of fact, Thursday, we're going to a fall league game out here in Arizona. So we're going to be covering some baseball. We're going to be recording an episode at a game. So that's how we like to get down. Fall league episodes happening for In This League. So we never rest on all the sports. So there you go. Jay Soderberg, we want to thank him again. Pod Vader in the first hour. Hope you enjoyed that fantasy basketball information. Any questions whatsoever in the fantasy world, you can find us at Is It The Welsh and at Bogman Sports on our Twitter handles or at InThisLeague.com. Until next week, can't spill title without ITL. I love you very much. Goodbye.
See ya.